بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So today's lesson number 37 in our series on أعلام السنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi rahimahullah. And we've been discussing the topic of the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to believe in Allah's names and His attributes. And so today we are coming to the end of that discussion. And so we are on question number 72. So here Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi is really concluding the discussion on the names and attributes. So this question relates to that which violates. How does a person oppose and deviate from in the subject of Allah's names and attributes? So the question number 72 is ما ضد توحيد الأسماء والصفات. ما ضد توحيد الأسماء والصفات. What is the opposite, or what contradicts or violates the توحيد of the names and the attributes? So Sheikh Hafiz rahimahullah, he says ضده, its opposite is الإلحاد في أسماء الله وصفاته وآياته. He says the opposite of توحيد in Allah's names and attributes, which is what we have been discussing. We've been looking at the principles that we follow when it comes to believing in the names and attributes of Allah, when it comes to describing Allah, when it comes to negating from Allah. We have a set of principles which are based upon the revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah. So now we want to know what is the opposite. In other words, how do you deviate from that? So he says its opposite is al-ilhad. And al-ilhad fi asma'illah وصفاته وآياته. So ilhad is deviation. It is deviation. Deviation in Allah's names and His attributes and His signs, His ayat. So ilhad, deviation, is with respect to His names and with respect to His attributes and with respect to His signs. The Shaykh says that it is of three types. وَهُوَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَنْوَاعٍ. It is of three types. So then he goes to explain each of those three types. So this is question number 72. So he says, الأول, the first, is إِلْحَادُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ عَدَلُوا بِأَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَمَّا هِيَ عَلَيْهِ وَسَمَّوا بِهَا أوثانهم فزادوا ونقصوا فاشتقوا اللات من الإله والعزى من العزيز ومنات من المنان. So he says that the first type of deviation, the first type of ilhad, first type of deviation, is the deviation of the pagans, the polytheists, the mushrikeen. And they are the ones who turned away from the names of Allah, the Most High, from what they are upon, from what they ought to be. And then they named their own idols. They named their own idols by way of these names which belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they added and they took away. So for example, they derived the name Allat, Allat, from Al-Ilah, Al-Ilah, Allah, Al-Ilah. And they called one of the idols Allat. They gave it a feminine, like it's the feminine version, Allat. Likewise, they said Al-Uzza, Al-Uzza. And they took that from Al-Aziz, Al-Aziz. So they took Al-Aziz, they gave it a feminine form, Al-Uzza, and they called one of their gods by way of this altered, you know, this name. Likewise, Wamanat, it's the feminine form, feminized form of Al-Mannan. So this is one type where, and it's found with the polytheists, that they will take some of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will alter them by adding or taking away from them, and then give those names to their idols. So this is one type of deviation in the names of Allah. الثاني إلحاد المشبهة الذين يكيفون صفات الذين يكيفون صفات الله تعالى ويشبهونها بصفات خلقه وهو مقابل لإلحاد المشركين فأولئك سووا المخلوق برب العالمين وهؤلاء جعلوه بمنزلة الأجسام المخلوقة وشبهوه بها تعالى وتقدس. So the second category, he says, the second type of deviation is the ilhad of the mushabbiha. They are those who resemble, they make resemblances for Allah, and what they do is they take or they give, they describe how Allah's attributes are. They give them a description or a form, or they specify how they are, and in doing so, they resemble them to the attributes of his creation. And so really what we are seeing here is, if you compare the first type of ilhad with the second type of ilhad, so the first type of ilhad, the polytheists, what do? They take names which belong to Allah and they give them to the creation. So this is a type of ilhad. And another type of ilhad is where they will take the attributes of the creation, and meaning the particular form and the reality of these attributes, and then they will ascribe them to Allah. They will say that Allah's attributes are like those exactly as what we see in the creation. So the Shaykh is saying that the first group, the mushrikeen, they made the creation to resemble Allah by giving the creation his names. And these people, they made Allah to resemble his creation by making his attributes to be like those of his creation. Right? So this is another type of ilhad, swerving or deviating in the subject of Allah's names and attributes. The third, الثالث, إلحاد النفات المعطلة. This third type is the deviation of those who negate Allah's names. So this now, this is the negators of Allah's names and attributes. He says, وَهُمْ قِسْمَان. This group itself is of two types. A type, قِسْمٌ أَثْبَتُ أَلْفَاذَ أَسْمَائِهِ تَعَالَى وَنَفُوا عَنْهُ مَا تَذَمَّنَتْهُ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ. Now the first group are those who they affirmed names for Allah, the Most High, but they denied what these names comprise, what these names contain, of perfect attributes. So this would be the Mu'tazila. Right? The Mu'tazila, they believed in Allah's names, they said Allah has names, but without pointing to attributes, without those names indicating attributes. فَقَالُوا, so they said, رَحْمَانٌ رَحِيمٌ بِلَا رَحْمَةٌ. So Allah is Rahman and Rahim, but he doesn't have any attribute of mercy. عَلِيمٌ بِلَا عِلْمٌ. He is Alim, he is all-knowing, but without any knowledge. سَمِيعٌ بِلَا سَمْعٌ, that he's all hearing but without any actual hearing. بَصِيرٌ بِلَا بَصَرٌ, all seeing but without any sight. And Qadirun bila qudra, and he is all powerful but without any power. And, you know, so on and so forth. And then they did the same with all of the other names. Right? Hakim bila hikmah. The all wise, al hakim bila hikmah, without any wisdom. And all for all, the same for all the rest of the attributes. Now, obviously, this is just utter falsehood. Because how can someone be given a name such as these names of the all hearing, all seeing, all powerful, and yet he doesn't even have the attributes? Right? This is just falsehood. It's fallacious. Anyhow, this is the view of the Mu'tazila. This is the first group. The second, وَقِسْمٌ صَرَّحُوا بِنَفِي الْأَسْمَاءِ وَمُتَضَمَّنَاتِهَا بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. Right, so the second group are those who deny the names. They deny the names as well. They deny everything, the names and the attributes. وَوَصَفُوهُ بِالْعَدَمِ الْمَحْضِ الَّذِي لَسْمَ لَهُ وَلَا صِفَةٌ وَلَا صِفَةٌ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يَقُولُ الظَّالِمُونَ الْجَاهِدُونَ الْمُلْحِدُونَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. So the second group would be the Jahmiyyah, right? So they do not affirm anything for Allah, neither attributes nor the names. And the Shaykh says, in essence, they are describing him with the description that you give to nothingness, pure nothingness. Because anything which does not have any names or any attributes, that cannot be given a name, that cannot be spoken of or referred to by way of a name, that cannot be given an attribute, that does not have an attribute, then this is nothingness, because there is nothing in existence except that it must have at least one attribute, right? For example, existence is one attribute. Wujud is an attribute, right? And then, you know, so it's impossible to have anything that does not have any names, does not have any attributes. So this group, the Jahmiyyah, they are far, far astray. Sublime is Allah, the Exalted. From what they say, from what these oppressive, negating, deviating people say, with a lofty exaltation. Then the Shaykh finishes, Shaykh Hafidh al-Hakimi rahimullah, with a number of ayat from the Qur'an. رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. This is the ayah at the end of Surah Maryam. The Lord of the heavens and the earth, and that which is between them, so worship him and remain firm upon his worship. Do you know of a namesake for him? Meaning, do you know of one that has his names? Likewise, the well-known ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing which is a likeness unto him, and he is all-hearing and all-seeing. And likewise, the ayah in Surah Taha, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. He knows that which is in front of them and what is behind them, and they do not encompass him in knowledge. Right, so this is what the Shaykh Hafidh has said in answer to that question. What is the opposite of Allah's names and attributes, Tawheed of Allah's names and attributes? So it is Ilhad, and Ilhad falls into various types. Here, the Shaykh mentioned three types, and the scholars mentioned more, four or five. We'll come on to that, inshallah ta'ala. But we'll begin by Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimullah. He just has a very brief comment. He just speaks about the ayat that we mentioned. These verses, they explain that if Allah is described with any attributes, and they happen to be in agreement in the name with the attributes of men, then they are different, meaning in their realities. And we've already spoke about this previously, that just because there is agreement in the name, Allah is knowing, man is knowing, Allah is hearing, man is hearing, Allah is seeing, man is seeing. Here there is agreement in name. But this agreement does not mean the similarity in the actual reality or likeness in the reality. And the Shaykh goes on to mention the point that we discussed this previously, that if we can observe differences in the attributes between the creatures, then how can we not accept and observe that there is a tremendous difference between the created and his creatures? And we spoke about this previously in previous lessons. From within the creation, there are examples that we can give. For example, the example of the angels, or the example of the jinn. We know that they, their essences have a certain reality which is different to the essences of men. So men are made of the earth, the clay. The jinn are made from the smokeless part of the fire. The angels are made from light. And with that particular thing that they are made from, they have attributes, so the angels can see, they can speak, they can hear, the jinn likewise. But we don't really know what the reality of these attributes are, how they exist with the jinn. We just cannot fathom it, and we know that it's definitely not like the attributes of men. So this is a clear example where there is similarity in the name between two sets of creatures, and we know for certain that the realities are different, and we have no knowledge of the reality. How does a jinn speak? How does a jinn hear? We don't know that, and it does not resemble the way that the form that we have. So if that's the case, the point that the Shaykh is making, then even more so we can accept that it is impossible for us to understand or to know the reality of Allah's attributes. So therefore there is no harm or no caution in believing in these names and attributes, even if there is similarity in the name. That's what the Shaykh said. And we also have some commentary here from Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And Shaykh says that al-ilhad in the language, in the Arabic language, is al-mail. Ilhad, al-mail means to like swerve away in a direction. And from ilhad, from the root, is al-lahad. So you know that when you dig the grave, that we are supposed to dig to the side of the grave and put the body in the lahad, right? So it's like, you know, it's like going to the side. This is the meaning of al-lahad. Why? Because it goes to the side of something. So the Shaykh says that the believers, they do not swerve or deviate in the topic of Allah's names, nor in the ayat of Allah. Because in the Quran, ilhad is mentioned with respect to Allah's names, and it is mentioned with respect to Allah's ayat, Allah's signs. Shaykh mentions the two ayat, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belong the beautiful names, so invoke Him by way of them. وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And leave alone those who yulhiduna fi asma'i, who deviate in his names. They will be recompensed for that which they used to do. So in this ayah, in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 180, it is mentioned here, ilhad in relation to Allah's names, deviation in respect to Allah's names. And then in another ayah, in Surah Fussilat, in chapter 41, verse 40, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلِينَا. Indeed, those who deviate with respect to our signs, our ayat, they are not hidden from us. So in other words, a person can make ilhad in respect to Allah's names and attributes, and in respect to his ayat, with respect to his signs. The signs that we see that point to his, obviously his existence and his rububiyyah, and his uluhiyya. So this would be like the ilhadi, this would be like the atheists and the naturalists and the materialists. They observe and they see the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which deeply inside their hearts they know that all of these ayat, they indicate that they were meant to be here, that they were created, and that there's no other, no other conclusion that can be made, that there is intentionality within creation, right? So they make ilhad, they swerve and deviate from this clear, obvious truth, which they can see clearly, and their fitrah tells them that as well. So they make ilhad from Allah's ayat. Instead of going to that which Allah's signs direct them to, they swerve and they go somewhere else, right? So that's ilhad in the ayat of Allah. And then there's ilhad with respect to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, obviously there's different categories of people who fall into this. And the Shaykh will then go on to mention maybe four or five categories to add a bit more clarification to what Shaykh Hafidh al-Hakimi, rahimahullah, what, he gave the three categories. So he says, فَالْإِلْحَادِ فِي الْأَسْمَاءِ هُوَ الْمَيْلِ فِيهَا عَمَّا يَجِبِ. So when it comes to making ilhad in the names of Allah, it is to deviate away in relation to Allah's names from that which is obligatory with respect to them. Right? So when we read the Quran, when we read the Sunnah, and it is clear that we are obligated, there are certain things that are obligated upon us in relation to Allah's names and attributes. So ilhad is to swerve away from that obligation and to enter into something else. So it is of types, وَهُوَ أَنْوَاعٌ. It is of types. النَّوْءُ الْأَوَّلُ. First type is to name Allah with something that he did not name himself with. يُسَمَّ اللَّهُ بِمَا لَمْ يُسَمَّ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. To name Allah with something he did not name himself with. So this would be, this is like you see, for example, the philosophers, like the Greek philosophers, they use these names. They say that he is the first cause, or the al-illa, al-fa'ila, the active cause, or they call him the prime mover, the first cause or the prime mover, all these kind of names, which they have not come in any revealed book. These are just like the ramblings of misguided people who are using their intellects to give these descriptions in which there is no real praise, there's no real, perfection or anything. So this is the way of the philosophers who rely upon their intellects. And then the Christians, for example, they invent names and titles and labels. They say, for example, Father, Abban, they call him Ab, and Isa, they call Isa al-Ibn, the Father and the Son. This is ilhad, this is deviation in Allah's names. By giving him names that he did not give himself. So this is to name Allah with any name that he did not name himself with. Anyone who does that, then he is mulhid. He is someone who swerves or deviates in Allah's names. Now, the reason for that, the Shaykh goes on to explain, like, what is the reason for this? He says the reason for this is that the names of Allah, they are tawqifiyyah. This is one of our principles, that in this topic, speaking about this topic is restricted to a text. When we say tawqifiyyah, it means it is suspended or restricted, which means that we cannot speak in this topic until and unless we have a text from the Quran and the Sunnah to show that this is indeed a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone who does so, meaning someone who gives Allah a name which he does not have, then he has deviated and swerved from that which is obligatory. What is obligatory? It is obligatory to only speak about Allah and to name him with names on the basis of what he himself revealed about himself. And not only that, so not only is this ilhad, it is violating an obligation, but it is also su'u adab ma'allah. Right? It is also to have evil manners, to have bad manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is dhulm, it is oppression. Because in oppression you are putting something in other than its proper place. You are giving Allah a name that He didn't give Himself. And it is udwan, it is transgressing in the right of Allah. Udwan fi haqqihi. Because, and the Shaykh gives an example that if anyone was to come and to call you with a name other than your name, you would have considered that if he started calling you with a name that's not even your name. He gave you a name other than your actual name. Your name is Abdullah, your name is Zayd, so he calls you Ya Khalid, or Ya Atiyah, or Ya this, or whatever that. This is not your name. And you would feel offended that he's calling you by other than the name that your parents chose for you. Right? So this would be, this you would consider this transgression. And so in the same way, if this is transgression in relation to a creature, then how much more so in relation to the Creator. So therefore, in short, the first type of ilhad, this is to name Allah with something that He did not name Himself with. Right? This is ilhad in Allah's name. This is one type, one category. Second type, النَّوْعُ الثَّانِي أَن يُنْكِرَ شَيْئًا مِنْ أَسْمَائِهِ أَقْصَى الْأَوَّلِ فالأول سمى الله بما لم يسمى به نفسه وهذا جرد الله مما سمى به نفسه. Right, so this is the opposite to the first one. The first one gave Allah a name that does not belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this second type of ilhad, it is to remove from Allah a name that He named Himself with. And this person may reject all of the names of Allah, or he may reject some of the names of Allah. Either way, this is ilhad. This is ilhad. And the reason why it is ilhad is because Allah is the one who affirmed these names for Himself. So now it is wajib, it is obligatory upon us to affirm them for Him. And if we negate them, this now is a type of deviation in relation to Allah's names. The Shaykh goes on to say that there are some people who negate all of the names of Allah, such as the Jahmiyya, the extremists, the Jahmiyya. They say Allah does not have any names, because if you affirmed any name for Allah, you would liken Him to the mawjudat, meaning to the existing things which exist and which are created. Right? So if you say Allah, you know, is merciful, you've now likened Him to men, because we describe men as merciful. If you say Allah is seeing or hearing, you now likened Him to the creatures, because we say about man, He is hearing and seeing. And this وَهَذَا مَعْرُوفٌ أَنَّهُ بَاطِلٌ وَمَرْدُودٌ. So we know this is known to be futile and falsehood. We just described earlier that similarity in name does not mean likeness of the reality. It doesn't follow. Why? Because the reality of Allah's being, His essence, is unlike the reality of, you know, His creatures. So this now is the second type of ilhad. It is to deny His names in all or in part. The third type, النَّوْعُ الثَّالِثُ أَنْ يُنْكِرْ مَا دَلَّتْ عَلِيهِ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ فَهُوَ يُثْبِتْ الْإِسْمْ لَكِنْ يُنْكِرْ الصِّفَةَ الَّتِي يَتَذَمَّنَهَا هَذَا الْإِسْمْ. So, third type is a person, he negates the attributes, right? So he negates the attributes which are indicated by the name. So he affirms the name, but then he denies the attribute. This is the Mu'tazila that we mentioned earlier. They affirm the names, but they deny the attributes, right? The second group would be the Jahmiyyah that we mentioned earlier, who deny the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This group here, they affirm the names, but they say Allah is the all-hearing, as-sami, but without any hearing. The all-knowing, but without any knowledge. The all-powerful, but this is what they say. And this is غير معقول. This is unintelligible. How can you even accept such a thing? that someone can be called the all-knowing, the all-hearing, the all-seeing, yet he does not have the attribute of knowledge, hearing, and it doesn't make any sense. It's not ma'qul. Now, these people, also from these people, they, in reality, they don't even believe in the names of Allah. Right? But this is just like a scheme so as to avoid people condemning them and censoring them and finding fault with them for denying the names of Allah. So they made a show and a pretense of believing in the names of Allah. Why? Because they are mentioned in the Quran. How can you say Allah is not Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Hakim, Al-Basir, Al-Alim? It's clearly mentioned in the Quran. So now, you know, you have to accept them. You have to, affirm them. But then they have a number of different approaches towards these names, right? So one approach is that they say that these names are different. So Al-Alim is different to Al-Sami', is different to Al-Basir, is different to Ar-Rahim, is different to Al-Hakim. So we accept that they are different in terms of the words, but because they don't have any meanings, then they are just merely labels and nothing else. Right? And all they do is they point to Allah's essence, Allah's being. So in other words, what they are saying is that, yes, all these names exist, Al-Alim, Al-Sami', Al-Basir, Al-Hakim, Al-Rahim, but these names are meaningless. There isn't a meaning. You know, we can't say that Al-Alim means knowledge or As-Sami' means hearing. Well, this doesn't exist. These are just labels that are for Allah, but they're all the same in the sense that they simply point to His being. Right? So in other words, like, there is no kind of real meaning to these names, because they're meaningless. They don't point to any attributes. And then there are others who say that actually all of these names are the one and the same. Right? There's no difference between Al-Alim and As-Sami' Al-Basir. Just because they're made up of different letters, so Al-Alim, you know, Ain, Lam, Ya, Mim, As-Sami', you know, Sin, Mim, Ya, you know, Ain. Like, these are different letters, but they're all one and the same thing. They are not really different names as such. I mean, this is not even intelligible. This is something that you can't even understand. Like, what on earth are you speaking about? This is just ridiculous. But the reason why they went to these long-winded, false explanations is because they are forced to accept the names because the names are in the Quran, right? You can't say, I disbelieve Allah is Al-Alim, because now your kufr, your disbelief, is open and clear because you are denying clearly what Allah said in the Quran. So you say, yes, we accept Allah is Al-Alim, but Al-Alim doesn't have any attribute. It doesn't point to any attribute. It's just a set of letters put together, and it's a label for Allah, right? So basically, this playing these games as a shield and as a cover to avoid the reality of what they believe in from, you know, from the people seeing that and from the people rejecting them, you know, for that. So this is the third type of ilhad. It is to deny the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while pretending to affirm the names. The fourth type, النوع الرابع من أنواع الإلحاد في الأسماء, the fourth type of deviation in respect to Allah's names is أن يثبت الأسماء لله والصفات لكن يجعلها دالة على التمثيل. Right, so a person believes in the names and attributes, but he makes them like, you know, basically he likens them to the creation. So this is what we mentioned before, at-tashbih, at-tamthil. So he says, for example, that Allah's basar, Allah's seeing, is like our seeing. And Allah's ilm is like our ilm, knowledge. Allah's forgiveness is like our forgiveness. And same thing for all of the other attributes. So now you are clearly making a likeness for Allah. A likeness for Allah. This is clear, this is tamthil. And because Allah Azzawajal said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, this now means it is obligatory upon us to deny that there is any likeness for Allah. Yes, Allah has attributes. Yes, they are true. Yes, they are real and true attributes. But they are unlike the attributes that we have. We are obligated to speak like this because the ayah says very clearly, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. So when a person comes, and this was said by some fringe groups in history, some of the Rafida Shia, the Hishamiya, and some other extreme groups of the Shia, and they really spoke of Allah Azzawajal in actual terms, of like human terms, right? And so this is tamthil and tashbih, and this is also deviation in the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth type the Shaykh mentions, An-Nu'ul Khamis, he says that that a person, he, Yarhamukallah, so he, that a person, he directs the names of Allah, or he takes what are the names of Allah and gives them to the deities, to the things that are worshipped. Yeah, so this is the first category that Sheikh Hafiz mentioned, right? So, for example, if he used to name anything that is worshipped with Al-Ilah, this is Ilhad. Or if he derived certain names from that, such as Al-Lat from Al-Ilah, Al-Uzza from Al-Aziz, and Manat from Al-Mannan, right? This again is Ilhad, with respect to Allah's names. So these are the types of ilhad in the names of Allah. As for Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they do not, la yulhiduna fi asma'illahi abadan. They never deviate in relation to the names of Allah. Rather, they treat the names of Allah, they affirm them upon what Allah intended, and they affirm for Him all of the meanings and the indications that come from his names. Any deviation from that would be ilhad. This is question number 72, and this leads us to question number 73. And this really is the kind of last question on this topic, an important question. This question is, هل جميع أنواع التوحيد متلازمة فينافيها كلها ما ينافي نوعا منها. Right, so this question is, are all of the types of tawheed, are they متلازمة, meaning are they binding and necessary? Like, are they inseparable? Right? Do they each necessitate each other? Such that if you negated one of them, then you've negated all of them. Right? So this is the question. Are the category, the types of tawheed, are they mutalazima? Meaning, are they binding with respect to each other? Are they necessary? Are they inseparable? This is a question. So the Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakimi, rahimahullah, he says, na'am, yes, hiya mutalazima. Yes, they are binding and necessary to each other. فَمَنْ أَشْرَكَ فِي نَوْءٍ مِنْهَا فَهُوَ مُشْرِكٌ فِي الْبَقِيَّةِ. So he says, whoever commits shirk in one of them, then he is a mushrik in the remainder of them, in the rest of them. And he actually gives an example, and it's important that we ponder and reflect over this example. Says an example of this is مثال ذلك دعاء غير الله وسؤاله ما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله. An example of this would be when someone, he makes dua to other than Allah, he invokes other than Allah, and he asks him for something which no one has the power and the ability over except Allah. Now, for example, he might call upon someone like these people do, "Oh Sheikh so and so, heal me." Right? He asks him to heal his disease. Cure my disease. Let's say he says that. So this act of supplication, فَدُعَاؤُهُ إِيَّاهَا عِبَادَةٌ بَلْ مُخُّ الْإِبَادَةِ صَرَفَهَا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Right? So here this person making this invocation, making this dua, this in itself is worship. It is the essence of worship. And he directed it to other than Allah. Okay, now this is فَهَذَا شِرْكٌ فِي الْإِلَهِيَّةِ. Right, so we know clearly this is shirk in ilahiyya. This is shirk in Allah's right to be worshipped alone. This person took an act of worship, which is dua, which is invocation, supplication, and he directed it to other than, he called out to other than Allah. Right, so we now know this is shirk in the ilahiyya, in uluhiyya, in Allah's right to be worshipped. However, what was the principle in the question? The question was, are the types of tawheed, are they mutalazima, such that if a person commits shirk or he negates one, does he negate the rest? And the answer is yes, by necessity. Because let's take this example and let's follow through with the example. Like in this example, a person says, "Ya Sheikh so and so, cure me. I ask you to cure me or heal me. Cure my illness." Right, he's got a chronic illness and he, you know, asks for the illness to be cured. Now, this person, when he asked for this thing, which is either to remove a harm or to bring about a good, right? So, for example, someone else might say, some woman might say, "Oh, Sheikh so-and-so, grant me a child," because she's not having children, right? So she says, "Grant me a child," right? So this is dua, you're making dua to other than Allah because you are calling out and you are making a request, you are asking, you're making a su'al for something which only Allah can give. So either it is to repel or to remove an affliction or a harm, or it is to bring about, you know, a benefit or a good. So now, why would this person ask this of this sheikh or this, you know, god or this deity? And why would they call out? Right? They would not have done it unless they believe a number of things. It's impossible for you to do that deed unless you deep down, you actually believe in a number of things. First of all, you have to believe that that person is able to give you what you are asking, otherwise you wouldn't be asking, right? So you have to believe that this sheikh or this, you know, whoever this that you are invoking, this dead person, this saint in the grave, and you're asking him either to cure your illness or you're asking him for a child, you wouldn't be asking him if you didn't believe that he had the power to do so, had the qudra, the power to do so, right? This follows by rational necessity. You would never have done that until it emanated from this belief, right? So this now is shirk in rububiyyah, right? So the act, the dua, that act is shirk in uluhiyyah, the action, because you are directing worship to other than Allah. But what led you to the act, there must be some underlying belief or conviction that the one you are calling has the power, the qudra, to give you what you are asking for. So this necessitates that you are committing also shirk in rububiyyah as well. It follows necessarily, right? It follows necessarily. Because you believe that there is someone alongside Allah who is able to, you know, yatasarraf, or, you know, mutasarraf, meaning that he has power and control over aspects of Allah's creation or in parts of Allah's dominion. Right, you would have had to have believed that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be making the dua to that person. Right, so this now is shirk in rububiyyah. And then also, he would not have made this dua, he would not have called out to other than Allah, except with his belief that that person actually hears him. Alright? He can hear him, whether distant or whether far away. Right? And in whatever time it might be, or from whatever place he might be doing it. Right? So the mere fact that you made this dua, you called out, you would not have done so unless you believe that he's able to hear you from a distance. Right, now, this now is shirk in al-asma'i was-sifat, because you are believing that someone can hear remotely, he is sami' remotely from a distance, just like Allah is as-sami', that he hears all things, and he hears all people, and you affirmed for this dead person or for this person who's somewhere else a type of hearing, you know, which is as if he can hear all things from a distance, right? And a long distance does not prevent him from hearing anything. So this now also necessitates shirk in ilahiyya. So it's ilahiyya, right? The act of making du'a to other than Allah. Then what that necessitates of belief, that you believe that person has the qudra to fulfill your need. And thirdly, that you believe that person has such type of hearing that he can hear you from a remote distance, from the other side of the world, or he's dead and buried in the grave hundreds of years ago, and he's turned to dust, that you believe he can hear you. Right now you have likened his hearing to the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so now you've committed shirk in the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So the point being, so this brings us to the end of what Shaykh Hafidh al-Hakim said. He said, وَلَا بُعُدْ فَاسْتَلْزَمَ هَذَا الشِّرْكِ فِي الْإِلَهِيَّةِ الشِّرْكُ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ وَالْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ. Now, Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah, he goes on to comment upon this, and likewise we'll suffice with what Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah he said affirming uluhiyya, affirming Allah's right to be worshipped alone, mutadamminun li ithbati rububiyyah. Right, so when we speak of uluhiyya comprises rububiyyah. وإثبات الربوبية مستلزم لإثبات الألوهية. And when we affirm Allah's rububiyya, it necessitates Allah's uluhiyya. I want you to pay attention to the words, because there's some technical words here. Right, so let's start with rububiyya. If you believe in rububiyya, Allah alone creates, provides, sustains, gives life, takes life, guides, misguides, brings benefit, causes harm, so on and so forth. This now, yastalzim, it necessitates uluhiyya. By necessity, it means that you have to worship Allah alone, invoke only Him alone, fear only Him alone, have tawakkul upon only Him alone. Right? So here this is istilzam, that necessitates that. But when we speak of uluhiyya, we say that uluhiyya, it comprises or it includes rububiyya. Have you noticed there's a different type of language between the two? So the Shaykh said that we say tawheed ar-rububiyya mustalzimun li tawheed al-uluhiyya. Right? So if we start from tawheed ar-rububiyya, it mustalzim, meaning that it necessitates necessitates tawheed al-uluhiyya. It leads to it without, by necessity. It must lead to tawheed al-uluhiyya. But when we say tawheed al-uluhiyya, we say tawheed al-uluhiyya mutadamminun li tawheed al-rububiyya. Right? Tawheed al-uluhiyya, it comprises, it contains Tawheed al-rububiyya. So it's not the same word. One is istilzam, one is, tadammun. So one is necessitates, the other is that it comprises. So when we start with Tawheed al-uluhiyya and we worship Allah alone, in our worship of Allah alone is the belief of rububiyya, Tawheed al-rububiyya, that Allah alone creates, provides. It's incorporated within Tawheed al-uluhiyya. But when we speak of Tawheed al-rububiyya by itself, then it necessitates and it leads to Tawheed al-uluhiyya by necessity. So this is a difference in wording that we have to observe, because these are very specific terms that are used to show the relationship between the categories of Tawheed. Right? So Tawheed al-rububiyya necessitates Tawheed al-uluhiyya. And when we speak of Tawheed al-uluhiyya, it comprises and it contains within itself Tawheed al-rububiyya. As for Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh Hafizahullah, then he says, he speaks about the division of Tawheed, of being Tawheed al-Rububiyya and al-Asma'i wa-Sifat and Uluhiyya. He says these are not expressions which have been invented or made up. These are things that the scholars of the past, that they spoke of, meaning this is not an invention of the Salafis or the Wahhabis or Ibn Taymiyyah or Ibn al-Qayyim or whatever. This can be found with the early scholars, and he mentions numerous scholars. He says, for example, among them is Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullah in his tafsir. Ibn Battah rahimahullah, I have his speech, he will read that shortly. And likewise, Ibn Manda and Ibn Abdul Barr. These are all scholars from the 3rd, 4th century, can be considered to be from the Salaf, living in the 3rd century. So, and others from the people of knowledge, right? So they spoke, this is because they understood it from the Qur'an. And likewise, we have something from Sheikh Al-Fawzan. He says, this division of Tawheed into these three types is taken from the book and the Sunnah. It is not an innovated division, as is claimed by the ignorant, misguided people today. And he mentions the ayah, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, that they wish to extinguish the light of Allah with their tongues, yet Allah will perfect His light, even if the disbelievers detest it. So the Shaykh was about to say that this division is not something taken from philosophy or ilmul kalam or that type of speech. No, it is taken through comprehensive analysis of the Quran and of the Sunnah, and this is what the Quran indicates, that when we look at Allah's Tawheed, there is from Allah's Tawheed that relates to His actions, meaning creating, providing, sustaining, benefiting, harming, giving life, taking life, guiding, misguiding, all those things. This is rububiyya. This relates to Him as a Lord, as a Rabb, as a Mudabbir, right? Then there is the Tawheed of al-Asma'i wa-Sifat, that which Allah is, His names and attributes, what He's described with. And then there is Allah's right to be worshipped when Allah commands the servants to single Him out in worship. This is very apparent from the Qur'an. And I will finish with an example here from Ibn Battah rahimahullah, and he is the author of Al-Ibana, Al-Ibanatul Kubra, Al-Ibana al-Sughra, a small book where he summarizes the creed, and Al-Ibanatul Kubra, like a voluminous book. So he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that I'll read. He says, وذلك أن أصل الإيمان بالله الذي يجب على الخلق اعتقاده في إثبات الإيمان به ثلاثة أشياء. So he says that the foundation of Iman in Allah, in which it is obligatory upon the creation to believe in having Iman, is to have Iman in three things. So look at what he says. So Ibn Battah, rahimahullah, he says, أهدها, the first of them, أن يعتقد العبد ربانيته, that the servant believes in his ربانية. Look at the word he used, ربانية. This is like rububiyya. ليكون بذلك مباينا لمذهب أهل التعطيل الذين لا يثبتون سانئا. Right? So the first thing in Iman is for a person to affirm Allah's Rabbaniya or Rububiya. And he says that this is so that he would be distinct from the creed or from the doctrine of those who do not believe in a creator. Right? So that he removes himself from those who deny a creator, he's now affirmed a Rabb. Right? This is the first type. Without which Iman is not, you know, Iman in Allah is not present. Then he says, وَالثَّانِي أَنْ يَعْتَقِدْ وَحْدَانِيَّتَهُ, that he believes in his وَحْدَانِيَّة. But look at how he explains it. لِيَكُونَ بِذَلِكَ مُبَايِنًا لِأَهْلِ الشِّرْكِ الَّذِينَ أَقَرُّوا بِالسَّانِعِ وَأَشْرَكُوا مَعَهُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ غَيْرَهُ. Right, so he said, the second is that he believes in his wahdaniyah, so that he is different to, or so that he is other than, or that he separates himself from, the people of shirk. The people of shirk, who believe in a sani', a maker creator, but they commit shirk with him, they worship others with him, they associate others with him in ibadah. So this is very clear and explicit. This is tawheed al-uluhiyah. Tawheed al-ibadah, you know, is laid out in very clear words. Then he says, وَالثَّالِثُ أَنْ يَعْتَقِدَهُ مَوْصُوفًا بِالصِّفَاتِ الَّتِي لَا يَجُوزُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ مَوْصُوفًا بِهَا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْقُدْرَةِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَسَائِرْ مَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ. And the third, that he believes him to be described with attributes which it is not permitted for anyone to be described except him, meaning in their perfection. Knowledge, power, wisdom, and all of the attributes that he described himself with in his book. And he says that إِذْ قَدْ عَلِمْنَا أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِمَّنْ يُقِرُّ بِهِ وَبِوَحْدِهِ بِالْقَوْلِ وَبِقَوْلِ الْمُطْلَقِ قَدْ يُلْحِدْ فِي صِفَاتِهِ فَيَكُونَ إِلْحَادُهُ فِي صِفَاتِهِ قَادِحًا فِي تَوْهِيدِهِ. So he says that we know that there are some people that they believe in him and they believe in his oneness, but then they deviate in the issue of his attributes. So their deviation in his attributes is actually a revilement in their tawheed. So he goes on to the end. As you can see, this is very, very clear. It is identical to what those after who came, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, to the scholars of today. They did not invent this classification. This is something that is clearly understood from the Quran. In fact, At-Tabari in his tafsir, he brings statements from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to show that they had this similar understanding, that there is Rabbaniyya, Rububiyya in the Quran, there is Ilahiyya, Uluhiyya in the Quran. So this is not something that the Salafis or the so-called Wahhabis have invented. This is from what the Quran itself very clearly it indicates upon a comprehensive analysis and investigation. So what we'll do is, inshallah, we'll stop at this point here and we'll return to the speech of Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimahullah, because the example that Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakimi gave to illustrate the binding link between the three types of Tawheed, it is a very important thing to understand, because when we come to look at what is the argument of the Quran against the Mushrikeen, the entire argument against the Mushrikeen is on the basis of this binding necessity between Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. And it is to point out the contradiction in what the Mushrikun are believing and what they are doing. There's a contradiction in what you are saying you believe in and what you are doing. And so part of our hujjah, part of our argument against them, is to point out that contradiction. And this is exactly what we see in the Quran. The Quran uses their belief in Rububiyya to point out the fact that what they are doing by worshipping other than Allah is futile and falsehood and opposed to reason and, you know, and so on and so forth. So inshallah, we'll leave it there for today. And we'll continue in the next lesson. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.